Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's nice to have a good martini related to healthcare today, at least potentially. Just a couple of days ago, we talked about how a new survey reported by MarketWatch.com suggested that at least 3 in 10 employers nationwide are probably going to scrap healthcare benefits for their workers once Obamacare is in place. A full 50% suggest that they're going to need to at least make major changes, if not completely dump it. So that was really encouraging. What is actually encouraging, though, is that the second round of federal appeals court hearings by a 3-judge panel seemed to go much better this time, at least compared to the one in Virginia. It's always hard to know exactly what the ruling will be based on the arguments, but it seemed like these judges, and it wasn't exactly a panel full of conservatives necessarily, at least appointed by conservative presidents, seemed to really go after the government, who was challenging the Vinson decision down in Florida, which absolutely savaged the individual mandate and basically shot down the entire health care law. So it looks as though they're asking the government to make a much stronger case than the government apparently was able to make yesterday, and that can only be good as we head closer and closer to the real case that matters at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I don't want to get too exceptionally excited because, you know, all kinds of legal observers will tell you, don't read too much into the questions. You know, sometimes it really does tell you which way the judges are thinking. Sometimes it just says that they're trying to look at this through the lens of the opposite perspective, and they want to, you know, confront the best counterarguments as explicitly and vividly as they can. Having said that, look, we'll take good news on any particular front. And, you know, when the first question is, you know, the judges begin by saying they've never seen any case in American history where the government had the power to force someone to buy something. That seems pretty, you know, like that seems like a very big hurdle for the Obama administration to overcome. I think what's also reassuring is the people who follow this much more closely, the folks at Bench Memos and Ilya Shapiro over at the Cato Institute, et cetera, all of them were pretty cheery about this. Now, again, you know, this is like tea leaves. This is like chopping up entrails. You know, you never know until the decision comes down. And let's face it, all of this is just the opening credits until, you know, Anthony Kennedy decides how he feels that morning. And that's what this is all kind of leading towards. But nonetheless, it is reassuring to see judges looking at this and kind of glaring, well, there's just a really big constitutional question, which is, does the federal government have the power to make you buy something? Which I think most Americans would look at and say, well, not in this country, not in the way we've done things pretty much since our founding. If you assert, the government asserts that power and it is ruled constitutional, Katie bar the door. It's, you know, there's almost nothing they can't do. So we'll see where this goes. But it's kind of nice to see, you know, some judges who are not necessarily expected to be completely on board with the right's perspective on this, raising the same useful questions that have dogged Obamacare since the beginning.
Absolutely right. And unfortunately, like we said earlier in the week, the news on healthcare in terms of the impact it's likely to have in its current state on employers, not good, and certainly on the patients as well. So hopefully this is the sign that it's going to be shot down one way or the other, because it still looks like the Supreme Court is a better bet than legislatively, but still not sure how strong that bet is. So good to see at least a little bit of hope in that direction. On to the bad news, Jim, and for the last several days, a lot of our bad martinis have focused on the economy. And today we focus on a poll, which we don't like to spend too much time on polls, but this one's done by CNN and Opinion Research. So again, it's not exactly the Cato Institute running this poll or another very strong conservative or libertarian organization. They asked the question, do you think a new Great Depression is likely to occur in the next year? 48% said yes. And not only is that significant because they actually asked the question, because polling costs money, and so you have to actually think there's a reasonable chance that Americans are going to think that there actually is, but nearly half of Americans think it's not only going to happen, but happen in the next year. I guess the car's not quite out of the ditch yet, huh?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where we probably shouldn't overstate this. I think it's probably a more useful indicator of general overall economic pessimism. I think if you really said, really? You think we're going to see bread lines? You think the entire Midwest is going to be a giant dust bowl? You think we'll see Okies head towards California? And most Americans would say no. California has no jobs. They wouldn't go there. So obviously, I think it's kind of a more useful indicator of general pessimism. Having said that, this poll comes out, you know, like a day after Barack Obama says he's not worried about a double dip recession. So you want to talk about just being out of touch and not on the same wavelength as so many of your constituents. I guess the good news for the Obama administration is that an entire 51% of Americans don't think we're headed towards a Great Depression. And boy, you know, when you can clear that low bar, you know, maybe the next one, it might even be up to 55% think we're not headed towards that. I'm looking for, also looking forward to CNN's next poll question. Do you believe that the Earth will be hurtling into the sun into the near future? Some other apocalyptic scenarios. It probably won't be that bad. But nonetheless, you know, Americans are feeling deep, intense, and lasting economic anxiety for, you know, very good reason, considering you see the, when you look at the latest numbers.
Yeah, absolutely right. And the story also goes on to say that 41% of Americans thought a Great Depression was a year or less away in 2009 and 38% in 2008. That was obviously the peak of the Lehman Brothers collapse, the Wall Street bailout, and everything else. So if the numbers are higher now, it's usually a suggestion of where Americans think the economy is headed, and that is not looking good for America in general, and it's certainly not looking good for the president's reelection standpoint. So on to number three now, and some of this pessimism, of course, Jim, is brought on by the fact that more Americans are aware that we are under a crushing amount of debt. But fear not, Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman Chaka Fata has come up with the solution. He wants to tax every financial transaction you make, whether it's a retail transaction, whether it's anything related to your banking, whether you're shifting money from one account to another, withdrawals, deposits, what have you. Except for stock transactions, he wants a 1% take for the government every time. And I'm not guessing that that's going to go over real well.
No, and this is one of those things where we can be very thankful that Congressman Fatah will probably never have any of his ideas enacted into law so long as Boehner is the speaker. Having said that, it's very revealing because I was thinking about that. I was like, God, first of all, that's a one-time boom. There's 1% inflation on every single item that you buy. And then I was also, as you're going through and you're realizing, well, you know, you want to move money from saving to checking. Well, I guess that's 1% right there. Mm-hmm. Taking money out of the account, out of your account. Well, that's 1% right there. You go to the store. Well, you're paying, you know, an extra 1% right there. Whenever somebody starts reducing a cost to cents on the dollar, be wary. Okay, that's always a, oh, pennies. Oh, it doesn't seem that bad. Except, you know, think about a 1% fee on a home purchase. Think about a 1% fee on a car purchase. Think about a 1% fee on, you know, any one of the bigger costs you make. And all of a sudden you're realizing the federal government will be taking, you know, gobs and gobs of money from you that it's not already doing. And, you know, many Americans look at this and say, hey, why don't we try this crazy idea of cutting spending instead of taking more out of me? And, you know, it's probably revealing that they he says the debt would be eliminated in just 7 years. One of the things that we on the right have learned to be wary of is whenever you impose some sort of special fee here or one time an action here is that, first of all, money that goes to the government tends to get spent. That's why the Social Security Trust Fund is a myth. It's an empty bin or a pile of IOUs. Money that goes to the government gets spent. And the idea this would all be applied to the debt, we have many, many good reasons to be skeptical that after a while, government would say, well, we were supposed to use this money for the debt, but this is this other really important need we have here. So we're going to divert some of this money the same way that TARP money, supposed to be allocated to Wall Street banks to get bad loans off the books, suddenly started going to car companies. You know, government tends to change the rules after the money starts coming in. And so this proposal will go nowhere. It is thankful that it goes nowhere, but it is a illustrative example of just how spectacularly wrongheaded the problem-solving notions are on the other side of the aisle.
They really do have no spending restraint plan whatsoever. And it's interesting because, you know, they'll claim, oh, 1%, it's not that big of a deal. Like you mentioned, the pennies on the dollar argument. But if you could think you can pay off a massive multi-trillion dollar debt in 7 years, that's a little bit more than you're trying to lead us to believe. So good thing that, again, that that's going absolutely nowhere, but it is pretty darn crazy. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.